God just blesses and strengthens, and that the church is just strengthened through this weekend revival. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to turn to the book of 1 Peter tonight. 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 3 through 7 is where I'm going to start reading. First Peter chapter number 1, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Amen. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, God, that it is the lamp and the light, God, to guide us and to direct us, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, that if we'll open our hearts to the word of God, Lord, that your word will bring life and will bring strength, God, and bring power and bring victory over every enemy and over every situation. And we praise you for it. God, I thank you tonight for this opportunity again to be in your house. God, I know that there may not be many, but God, I'm thankful, Lord, that you've assured us that where there's two or three in your name, that God, you're here. And God, I believe today, God, that you are not upset. God, that you're not unsettled. God, whether there's a big crowd or a little crowd, because God, you have come to bless every heart. And God, I pray tonight that in this service, God, that we would not have come, God, just to fulfill our responsibility, God, or to say we have been here. But God, tonight, that our hearts would be open to receive, God, because God, if that's not our attitude, then we've come in vain. But God, I believe that everyone that's walked through those doors tonight, God, has come with an expectancy and a hunger and a desire, God, to receive from you tonight. And God, I just pray that your word, God would be successful in what it has been sent to do, and I know that it will. God, I pray for your anointing tonight, God, to strengthen us and enable us, God, to speak the word. And we thank you for it, and we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. You can be seated again tonight. Praise the Lord. You have to pray for me tonight. I've been dealing with this throat issue again. Amen. It's wanting to jump back on me for some reason, but I'm fighting it with everything I've got. Amen. Praise God. So pray for me. The Lord will just help me that I can get this out tonight in the way that he desires for me to. Praise God. Amen. The trial of your faith. Amen. I wonder, is there anybody here tonight that's ever been through a trial? Amen. It's already been mentioned in testimonies about valleys. Amen. Brother Mike spoke of that been going through a valley, and that God is brings him through and brings him back to that mountaintop. Amen. And I know that tonight that there's none of us here that enjoys the trial. Amen. The trials are not fun. We don't enjoy the valleys. We don't enjoy the difficult times. And if we had our way in our limited ability to understand God's will and God's way, if we could just look at our life and see all of the rough places, amen, believe me, amen, if I had the ability, I would just kind of erase them out and let everything be smooth all the time. Wouldn't that be good? Amen. Wouldn't that be grand if life was just always full of sunshine and beauty, and that we never encountered the difficult times? Amen. But how many knows the bottom line is, church, that life is full of trials? Life is full of trials. Amen. What did Paul tell us when he wrote to the church of Corinth? Amen. He said, don't think that this temptation that you're dealing with is something that is uncommon. Amen. Don't think that you're the only one that is going through the trial or that has been tested at times in your life, that has found yourself, amen, accused or found yourself assaulted. Amen. By the enemy of your soul. Amen. How many knows the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren? Amen. That he spends his existence, amen, accusing you and I before God. Aren't you thankful when it comes to Christ? Amen. That we have an advocate today. Amen. That we have one that is on our side. Amen. That is speaking out for us. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that, amen, that I know who my counsel is. Amen. I've never had to go to trial before. I've never been set on a stand. I've never been a defendant in a case before. Amen. But amen, in the court system, so to speak. And maybe you have, and you can understand it better than I can. But amen. But I'm thankful in the trials of life and the accusations of Satan. Amen. I'm thankful that I have a counselor tonight. Amen. And my counselor's never lost a case. Come on, somebody. Amen. But he defends, and through his love and his grace, amen, he upholds me. Amen. And he strengthens me, and I'm thankful for that tonight. Amen. I'm thankful tonight for all of the times of blessing. Brother Mike, I'm thankful for the mountaintops. Amen. I'm thankful for the experiences in my life that, amen, that I've felt the glory and the power and the blessing of God. And it just seemed like that God was blessing me coming and he was blessing me going. Amen. That everything in life was falling into place just exactly as I dreamed that it would. Amen. I'm thankful for those times, church, and I know that you are. Amen. But can I tell you, if it wasn't for the trials, amen, if it wasn't for the times, amen, that all of a sudden the road became rough and all of a sudden the wind began to blow and the storm began to toss our life here and there. If it wasn't for those times, church, amen, then we would never know the faithfulness of God. Amen. You see, I begin to think about, and I'm going to get into Genesis in a little bit, but I begin to think about a few instances in the Word of God, and I thought about the disciples whenever Jesus, amen, and the disciples got into the boat and they began to make their way across, amen, the sea. And the Bible says that Jesus went into the lower part of the boat and he slept. And the Bible says that a great wind, a great storm began to blow, amen. And the disciples, they looked at the waves crashing around them. They looked at the wind blowing and they looked at the water flowing into the boat and they became afraid and they went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And we know what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says Jesus rose up from his sleep and he says, oh, you of little faith. And he stepped out on the bow of that ship. Amen. And he said, peace be still. And the Bible says that the winds and the waves obeyed him. Amen. I'm sure that if you were to ask Peter and if you were to ask James and you were to ask Andrew and Philip, in the moment that the water was filling the boat and the wind was tossing them here and there and to and fro, I'm sure if you asked them, do you wish that things were different in your life? I'm sure that they would have said, by all means, I wish my feet were on solid ground. The sun was shining. Everything was going as I thought that it would. But saints of God, if the storm had never come, they would never have known that God, that Jesus was able to speak to the wind and the wave and it obey him. It was in the storm. It was in that test that they saw the faithfulness of God and their faith was able to reach another realm. I just don't believe that there was probably another time that the disciples feared quite like they feared that day. And I looked at that story today and I thought, God, why did you call them of little faith? They came to you. They came down, but you were asleep, God. You know humanity. You know our human emotions. God, they came to you. Why did you call them of little faith? But I don't believe it was because they came and asked Jesus to help them. But I believe it was because they were afraid. Come on, somebody. Amen, that they were going to die in the storm. Amen. And because of that fear, Jesus said, hey, why are you afraid? I'm with you. I'm here. I'm in the boat with you. Why? It wasn't that they had asked for his help, but it was only that their fear overcame their faith. Amen. Saints of God, how many knows the Bible instructs us, amen, to bring every care to Christ. Amen. Paul said that we can cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. Amen. Jesus wants us to come ask, but he doesn't want us to ask in fear. He wants us to ask in faith. But I don't believe there was another time that the disciples feared quite like they feared that day. Amen. I don't know in what timeline it is, but if my memory serves me right, whenever Jesus come walking out on the water that day when the disciples, matter of fact, I know it was after that, when the disciples were out in the storm and they were on the boat by themselves and Jesus went walking out in the storm and it said that they saw him, they thought he was a spirit and they called out to him and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Amen. You see, they were not hollering out and saying, hey, we're about to die here. We're about to go under here. Amen. But what is it? Peter all of a sudden remembered, hey, this is the same Jesus who caused the wind and the wave to be still. Amen. All he had to do was speak the word. I know that if he's here, everything's all right. Can I come? I'm asking you, can I come out in the boat? I know that Peter sunk a little while later. Amen. But he done what no one else had done. Amen. He went to Jesus. He began to walk on the water. Amen. I believe there was never another time, amen, that they feared quite like they did in that first instance. Amen. But that situation, that trial, that testing allowed their faith to be brought to a brand new level. Amen. To a brand new place of confidence and trust. If there was never a storm, we would never know that he was the master of the wind. Come on, somebody. If there was never a financial need, we would never know that he provides and supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. I began to think about this week. And matter of fact, yesterday, I began to think about this thought. How many times have I found myself in a situation, and I've asked God this, maybe you don't ask questions like this, but I asked God this question, God, are you trying to kill me or something? Anybody ever ask God that? God, what are you doing here? Are you having fun with this? Or are you trying to kill me? Are you trying to destroy me? You're trying to take, you know, my joy, my God, what's going on here? I know that my steps are ordered. I know that my life is directed. God, what are you trying to do? Amen. I mean, but how many knows that God is never out to destroy his children? Amen. It doesn't matter the difficulty. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter the storm of life. It doesn't matter what you've encountered tonight. Amen. I want to tell you that if God has brought you into this thing, if God has led you to this thing tonight, amen, that it is never the intent or it is never in the heart of God to bring destruction or torment or turmoil, amen, to those that believe, but it is only God's will to bring us to something so that our faith can be increased. Amen. Without the trial of faith, our faith can never be purified. Amen. How many knows that if everything was always rosy and good, that we would be the weakest Christians? Come on, somebody. We would be weak-kneed. Come on, somebody. We'd have no backbone. We wouldn't be able to stand when Satan came against us. We wouldn't have the courage to stand in the face of adversity. Amen. We wouldn't have the wherewithal and the Spirit of God and the confidence in God to stand against temptation. Amen. But how many knows it's the trial of faith that strengthens faith tonight? A lot of times we think it's the trial of faith that destroys faith. Oh, my faith is getting weak. And it may seem like it in the midst of it. It may feel like it when we're walking through it. But saints of God, when you come out the other side, how many knows that faith is going to be strengthened because you're going to recognize that God didn't just bring you to it, but he brought you through it. God didn't just bring you into a valley, amen, but he brought you through the valley, amen. That God didn't just put you, down here and forsake you and let you go on about your way, but God led you and directed you and held you up when you couldn't stand up on your own feet, amen, and directed you and guided you, amen, when you didn't see which way to go, amen. It's when we come out and turn around and look back that we say, you know what, amen, the next time I come to a situation like that, I'm not going to have the same fear that I had when I entered into that situation. I'm thankful tonight for the situations in my life. I wasn't at the time, but I'm thankful tonight for the times that my faith was tried. Brother Moody, I'm thankful tonight that there were times that Sister Faith and we talk about how blessed we are, and my Lord have mercy. Sometimes I kind of feel embarrassed because we're so blessed. Man, I don't know if embarrassed is the right word, but sometimes I feel guilty because we're so blessed. God just blessed us in such a great way. But I'm thankful there were times in our life. Has anybody ever done this? We took all of the bills and the debts and laid them out on the table. We took everything, all the finances that was coming in, they were in. Come on. There wasn't nothing else coming. Laid it out on the table and it just didn't add up. And so we had to make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we going to still give to God his? Yes, we are. Let's go ahead and write that one out. So now we've got a decision to make. We've got enough finances to pay this bill and this bill. We've got enough finances to put enough gas in the tank to get to working back this week. But if we do that, then guess what? We're not going to have enough money to pay the electric bill. You know what we're going to do? Not going to call up mama, because they'd have paid it for us. Not going to call up mom-in-law, because they'd have paid it for us. You know what we're going to do? We're going to put it in God's hands. Say, God, we believe that you'll make a way. I'm thankful for those days that God didn't just make it happen immediately. That we had to drive to work looking at that gas tank hand. Saying, God, you know that I don't have enough money to put any more gas in this gas tank. Now I still got to go back and forth to work 2 more days. But just in the nick of time, go to the mailbox and open that mailbox. What is this, another bill from some insurance company? Open that thing up. Whatever it was, we'd overpaid $200, $250, something like that. They said we did. That was their excuse. God must have, God fixed, he cooked the books. That's what he done. And you know, not only did we have enough to pay our electric bill, but we had $20, $30 left over to put gas in the tank. I'm thankful for those trials. Because you know what? Then, when we get into situations now that we see it, say, God, this is what we know we're supposed to be doing. We know that you've asked us to give to this or to do this. And even in the church finances, God, we know that this is your will. And God, it may not seem like it's always going to play out, but we know that if we will trust you and obey, God, that you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm thankful for the trials of our faith, amen, that causes that faith to come out as gold that's tried with fire. How many knows that if they never put gold in the fire, it would still be mixed in with all those impurities, and it never would be as valuable and precious as what it is after it goes through that refining fire? Church, don't get down on God tonight if he's putting you through the fire. But rejoice, because when you come out the other side, your faith is going to have reached a level that it's never been before. Come on, somebody. You want weak faith, just always ask God for good times. But you want great faith and say, God, just give me strength for the trials. I want to go to Genesis chapter number 22 real quick. I mean, probably one of the most familiar stories about faith, especially in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 18. I want to read this whole account, if it's okay tonight. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went up both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, let me stop right there and say this. Abraham had great faith when he went up the mountain. Come on now. Because I've told you this before. I probably wouldn't have ever left the house. Abraham had great faith, church. But how many knows that if we're willing to allow God to, God won't just stop at great faith. God will continue to refine our faith and cause it to be greater and greater and greater. So Abraham obeyed. I don't know what. There had to have been a struggle in Abraham's life, in Abraham's heart. We're talking about taking his only son, even if it was his 25th son. There had to have been a struggle there. But he took his son. God had told him to offer his own son as a sacrifice. What kind of faith did it take, amen, for Abraham to know that he had heard from God and not only have the faith that God had spoke, but have the faith to obey? What faith? That was great faith, church. Amen. As they went up the mountain, Isaac looked over there at Dad and said, Dad, look, I see the fire and I see the wood for the offering, but where is the offering at? Amen. And Abraham portrayed the faith that he had in God. And he said, listen, son, God's going to provide himself a lamb. Notice that he didn't say, I just don't know what God's up to. I guess God's went back on his promise to me. How many knows God don't go back on his promises, church? He says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, what faith that is, church. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. What is he saying? Abraham, you passed the test. Come on now. How many knows it took God walking with Abraham for Abraham to be able to walk up that mountain with his son? Amen. How many knows it took God empowering and strengthening Abraham to lay his son upon that altar and bind him to that altar? How many knows it took God being with him as he raised that knife above his head to slay? Amen. It took God walking through that valley with him. Amen. But how many knows that God didn't forsake him, amen, or leave him in the middle of it and say, Abraham, I hope you make it to the other side. Amen. God was there every step of the way because it was never God's intent to destroy Abraham. Come on. Amen. It was never God's intent to kill the promise, amen, of Isaac for Abraham. It was only God's intent, amen, to try Abraham's faith so that his faith could be purified. Saints of God, whatever you're going through tonight, whatever you're dealing with in your life, rejoice in the fact that God has not brought you to this place to destroy you. God has not brought you to this place to kill the life out of you and to destroy your peace and your joy. Amen. God has brought you to this place, amen, to increase and to purify the faith that is in you so that you can come out on the other side and see God do greater things in your life than you've ever seen him do. But too many times we forget who God is. We forget who it is that's leading us. Come on, somebody. I love Abraham's. Abraham knew who he was. He's going to provide Isaac. God didn't bring us to this thing to forsake us. God didn't bring us to this valley to leave us. God didn't bring us here to destroy us. Hey, I believe that Abraham believed that if he took Isaac's life, that God was going to raise that boy up off the altar. Amen. Abraham, but let's go on and read a little bit. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, what? Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Now I want to stop right there before I go on. Amen. How many knows that Abraham's faith was great when he went up the mountain, but how many knows it was greater when he came down off the mountain? Come on, somebody. Amen. How many knows that Abraham was going in that expectancy and confidence? Amen. Hey, he had never walked here before, church. Amen. He had never been through this valley before. Amen. And he was believing God for a miracle. Amen. But how many knows when he come off that mountain, after God had spoke to him again, after he had looked and there was a ram caught up in a thicket, after God provided, amen, how many knows that Abraham's faith was greater after the fact than it was before the fact? That's what God is doing in your life tonight, church. I want you to know that. Somebody needs to hear this word right here. That is what God is doing in your life tonight. I know you have faith. God knows you have faith. But what he's doing is he's taking your faith to a greater level tonight. You just keep trusting him. You keep rejoicing. You keep telling that promise God's going to provide. Come on. Can I tell you, when God does provide, and when God does show himself faithful, amen, when God does bring you through this valley, your faith is going to be greater than it's ever been before. Don't quit in the process. What if Abraham would have got to that altar and said, Lord, I can't do this? He'd have still had more faith than I did. But what if he had got to the altar and said, God, I've come this far, but I just can't do it. Can I tell you, he had never really been sure that he was Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Amen. But he didn't quit in the process, did he? He kept believing. And God was faithful. And when he left that mountain, can I tell you, his faith was greater, I believe, than it had ever been at any point in his life. But it don't stop there. I love this, church. That trial, it wasn't just for nothing. It wasn't just so God could say, well, oh, Abraham passed the test. Let's read on down. He saw the ram caught in a thicket. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing. Didn't have anything to do with the prior valleys that he'd walked through. Didn't have anything to do with the prior faith that he had had. But he said, this thing, this valley that you were willing to trust God through, this trial that you were willing to keep trusting and having faith in God, he said, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. If Abraham would have never been willing to walk up that mountain, then can I tell you, the fullness of God's promise would have never been fulfilled in Abraham's life. How many believes that tonight? It's right here. As saints of God, if we're not willing just to keep trusting through the valley, to keep walking through the trial and just to allow our faith to be refined, we're never going to experience God's fullness in our life. But if we'll let him take us through those trials and those valleys, let him bring us through the other side, church. And can I tell you, God is bringing us to a greater place. I thought about this today. I thought about whenever the psalmist David, Amen. And probably one of the most quoted verses there is, the most quoted chapters there is in the book, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Making me to lie down in green pastures, leading me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does David say? I shall fear no evil. I believe this because David had been through a few valleys. Come on now. Notice that he said he didn't say it was the valley of death, did he? But it's the shadow of death. I believe there's something we need to get a hold of there tonight. I believe there's something that we need to look at there tonight. Because can I tell you, a lot of times we think that God's led us into Death Valley. This is it. God, this thing don't have an exit. We're just here to die in this thing. What is it, Death Valley out in California or something like that? Because it's so hot, barren, and dry. There's nothing there. God, you get out there, and let me tell you something, it's bad news for you. Amen. And sometimes that's the way. But David said, look, these valleys that I walk through, these are not the valleys of death, even though they may have the shadow, the appearance of death. He said, I don't have to fear because thou art with me. You know what, saints of God, these valleys that you think are going to kill you, these valleys that you think are going to destroy you, amen, these valleys that Satan's perched up on that shoulder and is telling you that, you know what, God has brought you here just to forsake you, or you're not going to make it through this one, amen, if you'll just keep walking and trusting God tonight, this is not a valley of death, but it is a passageway. Come on, somebody. It's a passageway to a greater mountain. And to a greater experience, and to greater faith. Amen. Without that valley, we'll never reach the next mountain, church. Come on, somebody. I don't want to be content. God help me, because I know we all get afraid when we go to talking about God, give me greater faith, or God, because you know what? The valleys sometimes are difficult. But saints of God, as long as I know that God leading and is with me, I know he's never going to lead me to a place of destruction and death. Amen. Even though it may feel like it sometimes, but he's leading me through as a passageway to a place of greater victory and a place of greater faith. Can I tell you, when you get through this valley, church, you'll never fear like you feared in that valley. Y'all with me tonight? You'll never be afraid like you were afraid when you entered that valley, because you know what? God brought me through this one and he'll bring me through the next one. The trial of your faith. God hadn't brought you here to destroy you, church. God has brought you here as a passageway to get you to a better place. Amen. To build that faith and to purify that faith that is within you tonight. What is it? What does Peter say? Amen. Let me see if I can just quote it. See how close I can get. Amen. He says that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than gold tried with fire, amen, that it would bring honor and glory and praise to Jesus Christ our Lord at his appearing. I don't think that's verbatim, but it's pretty close. It's not about us anyway. It's about that faith in us being purified so that brings glory and honor and praise unto Christ. Amen. Praise God. Church, allow Christ. Allow God to bring you through these valleys. Don't doubt it. Don't think that he's brought you here to destroy you or kill you. Don't think. Don't give in to the pressure that Satan's putting on you tonight. Amen. That he's brought you into this place and this is going to be the end of it. Amen. That you're not coming out of this one. Amen. Just know this, that if God has brought you to this place, God is going to bring you through it. Amen. And when you get through it, your faith, amen, is going to be greater than it's ever been before. Amen. And it's going to bring more honor than it's ever brought, amen, to God before. Sister Jean, could you come to the piano tonight, please? I want us to stand to our feet if we can tonight. Praise the Lord. Church, I know that the trials are not easy. I know that it would be nice if we shouted all the time and there was always just, I mean, a lightness in our heart and there were never any issues. But you know what? Like I said before, if I never had lack, then I would never know that God is a provider. If my world never grew dark, then I would never know that Jesus is a light that can pierce any darkness. If I never reached a point in my life and went through a situation that I could not bear on my own, then I would never know that His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Church, it takes the trials to really know who He is. It takes the storms to know that He is the peace speaker and the master of the wind. It takes the enemies coming against us to know that He is our deliverer and He is our victory tonight. Amen. So don't give up on the trial. Just keep trusting God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Here tonight, say, Brother Chris, I'm in the middle of one of those valleys you're talking about. I'm right in the middle of a valley that I've wondered if this is the valley of death, if this is not the one that's going to just destroy my faith, destroy my joy, destroy my life. And tonight I just need God to give me strength, just keep trusting Him, because I know that if I'll keep trusting Him, He's going to bring me through to the other side. When I get through this valley, oh, there's going to be a mountaintop that I've never experienced before. Brother Chris, I just need strength tonight. Anybody raise your hand, say, Brother Chris, will you pray for me? God sees those hands tonight. I just need God's strength to make it through the valley. I just want to come out of this thing and my faith shining like gold. I don't want to quit in the process. I don't want to quit when God's just about has me refined to the point that He's ready to open up the valley and make a way where there seems to be no way. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If you raise your hand tonight, I want to pray with you. Amen. I want you to come stand up here with me tonight. If you raise your hand, come on. Amen. I just believe that God is going to help you tonight. I believe that God is going to strengthen you tonight. Amen. I believe you're going to walk out. Oh, you may still be going through the valley. You may still be experiencing the storm, the darkness. But I believe you're going to walk out of this place tonight knowing, amen, that God has brought you to this place. And He brought you to it. Then He's going to bring you through. Anybody that will, I want y'all to come. Gather in behind your brothers and sisters tonight. Come on. Amen. Oh, tonight, this might be us Sunday. Amen. This might be you Sunday that's up here. Amen. So come on, let's come and pray with them tonight. God, I thank you.